Oklahoma lawmakers are facing a deadline to finish work in 3 weeks. The most important duty before the 2019 legislature ends is crafting a budget for the 2020 fiscal year, which starts on July 1st. So far, nothing has been released. Michael Cross sat down with House Appropriations and Budget Chairman Kevin Wallace and brings us this report for State Impact.
Chairman Wallace says the major sticking point in crafting a final budget deals with common education.
It's been a priority of the governor and the House to give the teachers pay raise $1,200 to get them up in the standings in the regional average. Still very important to our caucus. So the debate's still going on about just putting the money in the formula or giving a across-the-board teacher pay raise. I think it's very important that we do that. And we still want to put additional money in the formula above and beyond the teacher pay raise. But things are good. We're winding down. I'm hoping to have an agreement maybe this week.
Oh, fantastic. So sometime hopefully before Saturday or maybe early next week?
We have a time restraint. Constitutionally, we have to be done by the last Friday in May that you talked to about just a little bit. So it does take a little bit of time to craft the GA bill. Both chambers has to approve it, proofread it, go into the details, and then there will be some trailer bills, some work that has to be done after the GA bills pass that kind of limits on the agencies of how to spend the money that is appropriated of X dollars, blah, 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 blah. So there's still some work to be done once we pass the budget. And, that time gets really compressed for us to get our work done, but we are working and things are moving along well.
There's about $575 million extra in the budget. Have there been any thoughts for things like higher education?
Oh, absolutely. Higher ed had a responsible request. Chancellor and then a lot of the regents I've spoke with, that they come in with a number about $105 million additional dollars over their budget from last year. Of course, we will not be able to meet that request, but they've asked for teacher pay, concurrent enrollment, maintenance, Title 13, Section 13 offset money. I think we're going to be able to put some funding in all those areas. The exact dollar, there's still negotiations going back and forth. One of the issues, which is a very important issue for this state, we are a commodity-based driven state with both oil and gas and agriculture. The governor has been very open and upfront that he wants to save $200 million. The House and Senate both have discussed that, you know, we want to save some money. We have not been arbitrary on our savings line. We have gotten through the process, and I think it is doable. But to obtain that number, then we can't invest fully in certain areas and moving some numbers back and forth. But I anticipate higher ed receiving maybe additional 28 plus million.
And there's also, of course, talk about state workers. Corrections officers especially, I think, have come into the mix of maybe giving them a little bit more pay.
Absolutely. Overall, state employees, they all need a pay raise. We gave one last year. It was kind of a stair step. The lower you earnings you had, the higher your pay raise were. I do believe that we'll deliver a corrections pay raise no matter what. We're still talking about a state employee pay raise. There was a bill that I authored and sent over. It was $2,500 across the board. We're having negotiations about turning it into a somewhat of a stair step or staggered pay raise, resembling last year's type of a pay raise and or merit base behind that. So we really haven't come to an agreement of how to structure a state pay raise, but if we have a state pay raise, then in turn that will affect DOC pay raise. But currently we're on the path. DOC workers will get a pay raise this year no matter what. Whatever we do on the state pay raise side will actually affect DOC because we won't double pay raise DOC.
Also, of course, the Education First is supposed to be April 1st. You've got a lot of teachers wondering if they've got jobs. Just what's your message to them as you guys still, in the last minute, trying to craft this last-minute budget?
Well, on the April 1st issue, there's only been two budgets that were passed before April 1st in state history. The first one, Governor Brad Henry vetoed the budget. The last one was last year. Education gets literally 50 cents of every dollar that we appropriate. So I've told many people and teachers, do not worry. I mean, you're going to have a job. There's no way that we can deliver your budget by April 1st if we do not know everyone else's budget. If And I've even told the associations, if you want a budget by April 1st, I can deliver you one. It's going to be a whole lot less than what you got last year, and it's not realistic, and everybody's going to be upset. The April 1st deadline needs to be repealed, and I'm working on that. Even my colleagues across the aisle, we've had honest conversations about that, and it's you really didn't hear that much about it this year. I mean, yeah, it was brought up. But everyone knows, without knowing all the pieces of the puzzle, you can't deliver the largest budget in the state's pie without knowing everybody else's piece. If you do, you're going to have something reduced, and then once you figure it all out, come back and give them another budget or additional appropriation to make it balanced. So there's going to be additional money for education this year, I hope, in a teacher pay raise and additional money to the formula. We're all in agreement that we're going to have an investment in common education this year. Exactly how to spend it is what we're deciding on right now. The April 1 deadline needs to be repealed.
Speaking of the Democrats, they did put out their version of a budget. One of the things they asked for was expanding Medicaid. And I know you guys aren't necessarily for that, but expanding maybe Insure Oklahoma. Is this still a possibility to maybe get some more money into the state coffers?
There's always possibilities. There was a state question delivered to the Secretary of State. I do not believe that's the best option for the state of Oklahoma. It'll be very arbitrary and would be in the Constitution. We have members both on the Senate and House side that have been working for the last full session, but we've had this conversation now for a while after Trump came into office. I mean, there was a lot of talk about repealing the ACA. Has not happened. Numerous states have come on. There has been some changes. For Oklahoma, we need a individual plan for our state that will actually benefit and give access to health care for Oklahomans on our basis and needs. I think the path that we should go down, and like I said, we do have, I've seen a rough plan, and there's members that are diligently working on it. The governor's been briefed on it. I do think that there's some more negotiations to be had and come out with a solid plan for the state of Oklahoma, but it's going to be utilizing the waivers and pulling down more federal dollars, which is great for the state, but to just fully expand Medicaid is not the best option for the state of Oklahoma. And I hope that once the plan rolls out, people will take a step back, and putting something in the state's constitution is typically not the best thing. State questions from petitions, we dealt with one currently right now with 788, leaves the legislature in a position of having to fix some things, but yet very cautious not to go against the will of the people. But if it's not well thought out legislation that's put in place for all the pitfalls that comes along with putting something in statute or in the Constitution, and this one would be in the Constitution, and just adding to the Constitution is not necessarily a good thing. Gets me to thinking about it. State question 640, which is also a big problem for this state, but that's a conversation for another day.
Well, and the governor has talked about how he's making sure that there's no raising in revenue as far as raising taxes or anything like that. I'm guessing that's a no deal for anybody here in the budget.
There has not been any discussions about increasing taxation on the citizens of Oklahoma. That does kind of lead into that state question 640. We were in two special sessions, literally almost 18 months of nonstop session, stemming from the fact that we have to have 3/4 supermajority in both chambers to pass an increase of any taxes for the state of Oklahoma. That came about as a knee-jerk reaction from House Bill 1017 over 30 years ago. And with that position, what we finally was able to do with House Bill 1010XX last special session, the state actually has to be in a crisis, on fire and burning down before you can get anything done. And it puts the minority opinion, not party, but the minority opinion in power whenever 70% of the constituents in the state of Oklahoma are asking you to do something, and I, as their elected official, cannot deliver, even though I'm listening to my constituents and I'm voting the way they want me to vote, and we still can't deliver, is problematic. And so you end up with an extreme of a minority opinion that holds back the will of the people of Oklahoma. So state question 640 does need to be looked at, needs to be lowered. I can tell you that we could have passed a revenue package if we'd have had a 2/3 requirement versus the 3/4, three different plans or bills prior to the one that we finally passed 1010XX. So I would say no, there's really been no talk of raising taxes on the citizens of Oklahoma. The economy's doing well. We've come out of the recession. Of course, it was caused by oil and gas, the commodities that I talked about earlier. We do have a surplus of revenue. We need to be wise and save and be prepared. We have put some things in place. It's taken a few years, but we have the Revenue Stabilization Act, which takes the five-year rolling average of GPT and corporate income tax. We're on schedule to make a deposit into that next year, which will be another fund that we can access whenever GPT, or not GPT, but the price of oil and gas turns down, to help stabilize the budget so it's not so cyclical, up and down, and, you know, volatile. So there's some good measures put in place. As far as raising taxes at this time, I do not see a need. And we want people to keep more of their hard-earned dollars and spend them the way they want.
Anything else you can think of about the budget that you'd like to mention?
I would just say that since I've been here, and this is my fifth year, that the budget has been more member-based driven. And some things that we have done differently the last 2 years, both the House and the Senate have had joint hearings on budget reviews. So every member hears the information on the top five we actually have on the chamber floor. But every member hears the information at the same time. It stimulates thoughts and ideas and questions that might not would have happened if you have them individually in chamber to chamber. The top five that get the most money are public. I mean, they're here on the floor. People are coming, participating. The process is working very well, and you know, the agencies requested this year like $1.2 billion of needs or requests. Of course, we don't have that. We've already stated about $575 million additional is all we have. There's a request to save $200 million, so literally about a quarter of the requests are probably where we're going to end up meeting. And so you really start prioritizing, looking into the issues, the services, the needs for the state and the citizens, and you prioritize where the money should be invested in, and you come up with a good solid budget. I can tell you there's never a budget that anyone loves, but you have to have enough members that believe it is a good budget to have a majority. So, and I think we will have a good budget this year.
And you're expecting maybe within a week that we'll have the announcement?
Well, not necessarily an announcement. We do have to get an agreement, because the way right. The budget process works is that it rolls through a JCAB, which is Joint Committee of Appropriations and Budget. So both chambers have to agree or they will not hear the bill in committee. If it's not heard in committee, it can't be heard on the floors. And so it really, the beauty of this building, and I've always known it, but the last couple of years I've come to have a very fond appreciation for it, and it's the checks and balance on power. But if everyone doesn't agree, it does not happen. There's no chamber that can run over the other. The executive branch, the governor, can't run over the legislature. The legislature can't run over the governor. I mean, there's checks and balances. So everybody really does have to agree before we deliver the budget.
Chairman Wallace says there's never a budget which makes everyone happy, but he believes they will produce an excellent compromise for Oklahoma. For State Impact, I'm Michael Cross in Oklahoma City.